Hello and welcome to WTM Insights, the official podcast of the World Travel Market London, the leading event for travel professionals. I'm your host, travel journalist Lisa Francesca Nand, bringing you the latest global trends, expert speakers and analysis within the travel and tourism industry. And let's have a look at the latest travel news headlines. The airline trend for carbon offsetting. Can carbon offset initiatives tackle airlines' emissions problem? Announcements by airlines that they will offset their carbon emissions to give passengers a get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to air travel. However, these claims can be misleading when, in reality, all that's accomplished sometimes is no net increase in atmospheric CO2. With sustainability at the forefront of everyone's minds, airlines will need to be more innovative when it comes to meeting consumers' responsibility demands. Resignation from the Expedia CEO and CFO. After a disagreement with the board over the Expedia business outlook, the CEO Mark Åkerström and CFO Alan Pickerill have resigned with immediate effect. From the management's point of view, the company's reorganisation plan, launched earlier this year, has led to disappointing third quarter results and a lacklustre near-term outlook. However, disagreement from the board also caused friction. Since their resignations, Expedia stock prices have jumped 7.6%. And strikes in France cause chaos amongst travellers. Industrial action over planned pension reforms causes problems for trains, airlines and French roads. Eurostar said 90 services will not run, while EasyJet has cancelled 70 flights and BA has cancelled more than a dozen. And those are the travel headlines for the month. Another end to another year, well, actually a decade, in fact, and 2019 has certainly been an interesting one in travel. Today we'll be talking about what's changed within the industry and what will be the repercussions moving forward into 2020. We're very fortunate to have two guest speakers with us today to give us an insight into how external factors might be moulding new trends in the UK travel industry. Antonia Stratford is Public Affairs and Communications Manager at UK Inbound, and has seen firsthand how businesses are having to adapt to the changes in consumer needs. First of all, Antonia, let's start with you. Just tell us a little bit, if you will, about what UK Inbound do.
Certainly. UK Inbound is a travel trade association, actually not the only one in the UK to represent the UK's inbound tourism industry. We've been running for just over 40 years and we have just over 400 members. About 30% are tour operators and the rest are made up of attractions, accommodation providers, transport providers, anybody that services international clients.
Okay, that's at the same time as WTM, 40
Absolutely.
Years, yeah, twins. Yeah. And also, so Kelly Cook's joining us as well, our second guest today. Your leisure director at Advantage Travel, a UK-based travel company. Kelly, do you think it's, well, tell us a little bit about the travel company first.
So Advantage Travel Partnership, we are the UK's largest independent travel agent partnership. So basically what that means is that we are a member-owned organisation and we work with travel businesses, which are all independently owned, and we support them in terms of technology, commercials, marketing, and work with them really to do what we can to grow their businesses.
I guess as a UK-based travel company, I'm sure it's very important to roll with the tide and keep on top of tourism trends. Could this mean an increase in the necessity of local travel agents, do you think?
I believe so, and we are continuing to see investment in the high street, and I think in particularly locally owned businesses within that high street environment. In fact, I was on the tube yesterday and saw adverts by both Visa and American Express, and both of them were talking about the power of buying local and the local independently owned businesses, and that certainly sits well with our membership and what they do.
Well, we're going to be talking about UK inbound tourism, of course, and with the average European family holiday set to increase by £250, which is very disappointing for many of us who like to travel abroad. Do you think UK citizens will be turning to the experts to point them inland? Antonia, what do you think? Do you think we're going to be seeing a rise in inbound tourism as less people go abroad?
Well, that's domestic tourism. You mean an increase in domestic tourism? I think, as a British, as a nation, we love our holidays. I don't think that's going to change. I can't actually speak for the outbound market, but certainly for the inbound market in terms of international visitors coming in. 2017, we know, was a record year. Last year was still strong, but flatter in terms of spend and visitation. But actually this year, we know, again, that the final figures won't be out for a few more months. But actually, we've seen a rise, not quite back to 2017 levels, but certainly numbers and spend are looking very strong. So, but no need to call in the experts just yet.
But people are also going away more than ever, aren't they? I think the figures, year on year, we are travelling as a nation. Mm. In fact, the world is travelling more than ever.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting as well that we all strive to want to find the sort of authentic, and you touched upon the local, and I think that's absolutely key. And with, you know, we have about 130 tour operators in membership, and I think the need for a personalised one-on-one service will never go away. And certainly, I mean, we've got new members coming on board all the time. So there's definitely a market for that need for the expertise.
Kelly, this year has definitely been a very big year in travel. We've seen the collapse of package holiday giant Thomas Cook, which, you know, is a big shock to all of us. Obviously, you know, we've seen it coming with the figures over the last year or so. But for such a giant to collapse, do you think there's been a huge shift in consumer desire and even confidence, you know, related to the collapse of Thomas Cook and other similar brands?
I mean, absolutely. It's certainly been a turbulent year in our industry. We saw Superbreak go earlier in the year and then more latterly Thomas Cook. And I think we're probably still seeing the impact of that, and that will go on for a number of months. And it's had a number of impacts, really. I think, you know, losing one of the big three, it will certainly change the supplier landscape. And we're already seeing others going after the Thomas Cook flying, as well as new entrants to the market, like Classic Package and EasyJet Holidays. But it also had a big impact from a distribution point of view. So their retail network has now been taken on by Hayes, which I do believe is great news for the high street. But that is a different model, and it will look different to how it did when it was run and operated by Thomas Cook. And on top of that, we are seeing high street growth commitment from other players. So we've seen Barhead, we've seen Polkadot come out and openly say that they are looking to commit to that. So I think certainly from a consumer point of view, we are seeing that agents believe that there will be more of a demand for consumers to want to talk to them about their holidays.
Which is really good in the, you know, for the industry as a whole. I know we were all watching the collapse of Thomas Cook with our eyes closed, almost thinking, oh my God, what does it mean to, you know, the rest of the industry that such a giant can collapse? And of course, the travel, you know, the way people book travel, the way people travel has been changing for a long time. And Antonia, what do you think the biggest change for the industry has been this year?
I think certainly you touched on it earlier. I think we've seen, certainly our members have seen, you know, big growth in demand for experiential tourism. Film tourism is huge. We Visit Britain tell us that about 30% of the visitors that come to the UK, they come here because they want to visit a film location. So the Poldark Effect, The Crown, all those.
Harry Potter, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant for tourism. And food tourism as well, though, again, according to Visit Britain, although 5% only come here specifically to sample our fantastic food and drink, apparently 41% when they actually get here say that British cuisine is part of what attracted them to come. It's our afternoon teas, fish and chips. We know that there's a funny sort of little anecdote in, I think it's called Scots in the north of England, that the former or the current Chinese premier visited when he was here. And that's just Chinese tourists flocked to this fish and chip shop. So
I love that, because not traditionally but about 20 years ago I would have said going abroad and people would go, oh, England's got nothing, or the UK's got nothing to offer culinary wise, and I've been going, absolutely not, we've got so much to offer.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that actually that's sort of playing out now in the figures, and people are realising that we've got a lot of great food to offer people here.
Absolutely. And the other thing as well is that again, this probably won't be new, but it's all around the immersive. So a lot of our attraction members are now bringing in the use of virtual reality and augmented reality. And we've had a couple of really interesting member businesses come on board. So Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, they've got an attraction in the East End of London, big old. I haven't been to it personally. I'm hoping to get there in the next few months.
What, a War of the Worlds attraction?
Yes. Well, it's completely immersive. So really just a sort of one-off experience.
That sounds great.
Yeah, no.
We're really good at that sort of thing. Mm. You know, with arts and culture and technology, we are a lot better than many countries. I travel the world, travel around a lot. We are really good at that. And that's something certainly, to be celebrated. Mm. Kelly, the pound has tanked. Has that helped us? Has that made us a little bit more attractive in terms of visitors from out the UK looking to get more bang from their buck?
I think potentially so. I think, in terms of us as a country booking holidays, I'm not sure that we are booking to stay within the UK instead of travelling overseas. But we are certainly seeing an increase in those types of holidays. And definitely, as you've already talked about, some of those key programmes are helping to drive that. Even programmes which you would think perhaps wouldn't help with bringing in tourists, Peaky Blinders, those types of programmes. I was reading an article and it has really helped Birmingham, and I think Birmingham now has 6 Michelin star restaurants. So we're definitely seeing that. And I think another big trend that is playing into the hands of this is the increase in multi-generational holidays. Mm. And that's something we're definitely seeing being reported from our membership. And actually, UK breaks are perfect for those types of trips.
Of course, because people, if you're going to travel with the grandparents and the kids, flying can sometimes be a pain. I know I've got small children. I travel with my parents as well because they're great for babysitting. So I can certainly relate to that. And we are biased in a way because obviously we're from here. But the UK is brilliant when it comes to landscapes, architecture, history. And I know that tourism authorities have built a variety of these fantastic experiences throughout the region, as we were talking about a bit, Antonia. Do you think that the increase in inbound domestic tourism might be the perfect opportunity to really show off what's on offer here?
Well, I think we do a very good job about promoting ourselves overseas, certainly with a great campaign. We know that culture and heritage score really highly on something called the Brand Index, but landscapes and countryside less so. But I don't know if you're aware, there was something called the Discover England Fund, which has been running for about 3 years now, and that's where government pumped in about £40 million, and we're really hoping that they'll continue this programme in the next couple of years. But what that did was invited the industry to put together packages of things that don't really exist, really. So things like Gardens and Gourmet, where that packages up fantastic gardens and restaurants, that theme again, in the southeast of England, the English waterways, England's Originals, which is actually a collection of themes for our sort of ancient cities. Great Walking Trails is another project in the Peak District in Derbyshire. So actually, we've seen a real growth in some of these innovative packages, and we're really hoping that will continue to showcase our, like you say, our fantastic landscapes.
I always say this, having travelled the world, but I do say that when the weather is good, which doesn't necessarily mean, in summer, because in the last few weeks we've had some glorious weather, sunny and cold, wintry, I guess it's still autumn, but wintry autumnal weather. I think that the UK is one of the best places to be in the world. We've got so many things to see, in terms of landscapes and history and lakes and mountains and, of course, the cities and everything. But yeah, we are a little bit biased. I'm going to mention the B word. I hate mentioning the B word because it's been going on and on and on forever now. And in fact, personally, I wish it wasn't going on at all. But Brexit has definitely felt like a very arduous and long process. And it feels like there's still a lot of uncertainty around increasing travel costs and restrictions. What's it going to mean for us? What's it going to mean for people abroad coming here? What's it going to mean for us going elsewhere? Let's start with you, Kelly. Have you felt this lack of consumer confidence over the past year relating to Brexit?
I think initially when we started talking about Brexit, there was a concern, and that does linger definitely with consumers. But I think the longer that it has been going on, and we all know that has been quite a long time, I think the less we're seeing that, and the more consumers seem to still have it in the back of their mind, but actually be less inclined to let it disrupt their travel plans. And I do think that, you know, we are at that point now where we're kind of, you know, look, I'm going to carry on with my plans regardless, because I maybe have put them on hold previously and didn't need to. So it doesn't seem to be doing much at the moment.
I know you see that you know more about the figures and the official happenings, but I can just talk as a, you know, as a, someone who does a lot of family travel. In the run-up to Easter last year, I know so many people, because the March the 31st deadline, who were like, oh, we're not going to go away this year, we don't really know what's going to happen. It was a bit like the millennium bug, you know, at midnight on the 31st, everything's going to go into some sort of disaster, and people didn't book. And now I absolutely agree with you from what I'm seeing anecdotally. It's people like, yeah, this is not going to happen this time, let's just book, you know, and deal with the consequences. If we're stuck for an extra week in Europe, you know, that can only be a good thing, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Antonia, how have you felt the impact of Brexit?
So we saw, well, it has affected our members' business. I don't think there's getting away to it. And I think we have something called a business barometer, and we monitor our members' businesses every couple of months. And I think we can sort of safely say this year is steady. Long-haul markets have performed really strongly, which is great. They don't care about Brexit. In fact, again, an amusing sort of note, the Chinese think we're actually more interesting as a nation because of Brexit, apparently. Americans don't care. But without a doubt, there has been some softening from our traditional EU market. So we know this because of ahead of the sort of the Brexit deadlines this year. Figures told us that the forward figures have been softening. And like you say, you know, everyone is just slightly holding back. And I we're doing that personally as well, just waiting to see what happens, really. But
not just holding back, but with the things have got so much more expensive with the euro, you know, hotels, ultimately flights will go up, and just eating and drinking when you're on the continent. I mean, obviously, in some places, it's still a lot cheaper than here, despite the rise in the currency.
And it's interesting, the devalue of the pound. So whilst that might have certainly probably attracted, you know, visitors coming in, it has impacted our members' business in a negative way. So obviously costs, like you say, anyone that's importing goods into the country, those costs have gone up. So for hotels, for restaurants, and our transport providers are telling us that fuel costs have gone up. So Brexit has, it has affected them.
I can't think of any, you know, we are in a nation almost divided at the moment, but I think the travel industry in particular are united in thinking that this isn't actually, you know, the whole Brexit thing is not actually very good for us.
I think we actually launched a big report last month. One of the main reasons that our members are worried about Brexit is down to people. It's down to staffing. So about 10% of the tourism industry in this country is staffed by EU nationals. And actually that sort of figure actually masks regional differences. So London, you can imagine, has a high proportion of EU nationals working in the industry, but also the Lake District as well, and Scotland as well. And our members are really worried about it.
I don't want to cast a downer on it, because people are still travelling, and people are travelling more than ever, and travel is fabulous, you know, whether you're going around the UK or going out of the UK. And hopefully we will iron out whatever glitches they are, you know, in terms of visas and travel and that sort of thing. But, you know, it has been a difficult time. It has been a very difficult time in retail as well, in general. Kelly, unfortunately, this has been felt by a number of independent travel agents. But with their insider local knowledge and, you know, people looking for a more personal experience, do you think maybe this could be a little bit of a saving grace? Maybe the local travel agent is going to have some sort of, you know, rise from the, like a phoenix from the flames?
I do believe so. And I think we are actually already seeing that. I mean, we've spoken already about the investment in high streets and the independently owned businesses there. And that plays right into what our members do. And we know that they engage well with their local communities, and that is helping them to trade. They have an understanding of local challenges and how to engage with their local market. And I think most importantly, they can adapt their businesses to suit that, because they are working on a local level rather than potentially having to take direction from a central office. And on the back of that, we have seen quite a number of members that have carved out a niche for themselves. So we continue to do well and see members do well with products like cruise and luxury, and perhaps those where consumers do need more of an agent's input and a little bit more advice to be confident booking them. And generally, our members do also perform well when it comes to upselling and sell higher grades and higher levels of accommodation. And I do think that's reflective of the service that they offer the customers. So I think there's more we can do with that. And I think, you know, independents do need to think about their niche and think about what they offer that is different and make sure that they play on that. But absolutely, I think it already is being a saving grace and will continue to be so even more as we move through into the busiest booking period of the year.
I'm really keen on seeing what Hays Travel do with the Thomas Cook branches that it's going to take over. What do you think they might do with them?
So personally, I mean, I have no insider information on it, but personally, I think they will probably just let them trade for now. So I think the priority is to get them up and running and get them staffed and trained on the new systems. And then I think they'll probably just let them run. All of the information that we're hearing is that, you know, the managers are being given a lot of autonomy to run the business how they see fit. And I think then they'll probably just sit back and let them trade for a while and before they make any decisions, see how it all plays out in each of those locations.
One thing we didn't anticipate or people didn't think about, or maybe people, you know, deep within the industry in terms of regulations and aerospace and that sort of thing, but certainly something I didn't consider was that the EU currently regulates the airspace and allows UK-based airlines to fly freely across various European countries. So unless we strike an independent deal, a deal independently, it looks like temporarily, after Brexit happens, you know, if it does go ahead, looking like it might go ahead at some point, flying will actually become more difficult and more expensive, even if it's temporary. And, you know, we don't know how long that will go on for. It's obviously going to have an impact on holiday decisions for most households. Antonia, what sort of impact do you think this will have?
Well, I think it's important to what is the fact, what do we know about flying post-Brexit? And we know, deal or no deal, that actually what has been agreed so far is a bare bones agreement where planes will be able to fly between the UK and the EU. They won't be able to fly within EU countries and likewise within the UK. So that agreement is going to be in place even if there's no deal. Now, I don't think it's in anybody's interests in the EU or the UK to not have, you know, seamless sort of aviation arrangements like there are now. So I can't really speculate. I mean, who knows what will happen next year? Who knows what the agreement will be? But again, I mean, I just can't believe there's too much at stake, really, for aviation to, as you say, become more difficult, more friction. So fingers crossed that a deal will be struck.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's all just so, I'm just about to say a really terrible pun, but it's all just so up in the air, is that nobody really knows right now. I just hope that, you know, that some sort of deal will be struck in all of these areas that where the deals need striking. Overall, for the next year, as we are now coming to the end of the year and the end of the decade, I cannot believe it. What do you think, Kelly, we can expect changes-wise in the travel industry in the next year? And what can brands do to sort of harness this to their advantage?
So I think the main thing is to be agile. We've already seen a lot of change in the last year. I think we'll probably see more change as the industry re-looks at the new landscape post-Thomas Cook and obviously as Brexit and the election and everything plays out. I think probably from a supplier point of view, continuing to make sure that the product is representative of the demand. So I'm working with agents who are working with consumers to make sure we're offering the right product at the right time. And from an agent point of view, making sure that, you know, they're skilling up and they're aware of the new entrants in the new products and taking the time to make sure that their product knowledge is where it needs to be. But actually, from an agent point of view, I would just say that the biggest thing is to make sure that consumers are aware of the range of products that they can book. And whether that is overseas holidays or whether it is holidays within the UK, just really to be out there and shouting about that range of products that they've got available.
What do you think, Antonia, in terms of changes? What sort of changes can we expect in the travel industry this year?
So I think I would obviously agree with Kelly and say that the industry has to remain agile. We're very, very good at that. And we've, you know, we've weathered a lot of storms in the last few decades. And again, we're very resilient and good at bouncing back. And I think, you know, just more of the same, really, in terms of innovative product, understanding what the customer wants, that kind of disruptive, immersive, authentic experience. But I always say when we celebrated our 40-year anniversary as an association, I think the basics in the tourism industry don't change. So fantastic customer service, service with a smile, all cliche, but actually that's what, so you can have the best product in the world, but actually it's the people that make the difference as well, whether you're selling or whether you're actually on the ground delivering that experience. The people are key, really.
Absolutely, definitely. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you, Kelly and Antonia, for our final episode of 2019.
Thank you for having us.
I don't think it's too early to say it. It's December. We can use the Christmas word. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, both of you, and all to everyone listening as well. And we'll be back with more episodes in the new year. Thank you for listening to our latest episode of WTM Insights. We'll be releasing exciting content throughout the year, so please subscribe to ensure you don't miss out. See you next time.